The year, 1999. The place, the moon. We are in main mission, control room of Alpha Moon Base, as Earth's great satellite, blasted out of orbit by a tremendous explosion of nuclear waste materials buried beneath its surface, rockets through space on a journey into the unknown. On the big screen, an alien spaceship.
Look at that. 50 miles long, 2 miles wide.
100 square miles of ship.
She's sending out some kind of signal. A computer report ready, Kano?
Yes, sir. Signal decoded. Seems to be a recorded message.
Emergency! Emergency! This is the commander of the spaceship Daria. A major catastrophe has occurred. Large areas of our ship are devastated. Thousands of our people are dead. We who survive will perish without urgent medical and material aid. Emergency! Emergency! This is the commander of the spaceship Daria. A major catastrophe...
Commander Koenig!
What is it, Morrow?
We're picking up life signs.
What do you think, Dr. Russell?
It may not be too late, John.
Victor?
I agree.
Okay, we'll need a team. Morrow, you assess material damage. Victor, scientific. Helena, medical. Security, Lowry. Carter, get Eagle 1 ready for immediate launching.
As the Eagle moves alongside the alien ship, it passes one of several pod-like constructions connected by long, transparent cylinders to the main structure. Suddenly, the pod glows and the Eagle shudders, loses velocity, and is drawn inside, coming to rest at an airlock in a vast area, showing signs of damage to the overhead structure.
Well, at least the computer can still function. What have we got, Victor?
Breathable atmosphere outside, a power source somewhere.
What cut off our communications?
Radiation distortion.
Radiation?
Yes, Helena. The ship is saturated with atomic radiation, but it's too weak to harm us.
Anything living here?
I'm getting life signs. There is life somewhere on this ship.
Okay, let's find it.
Walking out of the Eagle into the airlock, they see two corridors going off at an angle to each other. One clear, the other cluttered with debris.
These corridors are bound to connect with the main areas of the ship. Paul, you and Alan take that one.
Right.
Victor, you and I will take this one.
Right.
Helena, you and Lowry stay back here close to the Eagle. If we can't make contact with the Darians, we'll rendezvous back at 1600.
As the two search parties disappear into the corridors, Helena and Lowry discover a hidden third corridor and decide to investigate.
Looks much shorter than the others. I wonder what's around that corner.
Let's take a look.
I don't know. We're supposed to...
Wait, what's that?
Suddenly, two figures no larger than children come running around the corner and stop short at the sight of Helena and Lowry. They are mutes, one male, the other female. They keep looking back over their shoulder, their eyes bulging with fear.
What is it? What's the matter?
They're mutes. Can't talk and scared to death of whoever's making that noise.
As the sound of the pursuers comes closer, the female mute whimpers and runs forward to fall at Lowry's feet. The male mute dashes past them into the airlock where the Eagle rests.
Uh-oh, trouble.
They're humanoids. Six of them.
Yeah, but look at them. Like out of the Stone Age. Dr. Russell, move back slowly, then break for it.
Okay.
But as they move, the six aliens, led by one called Hadim, charge forward. Helena, Lowry, and the mute are quickly subdued and taken back to the ship settlement area, once a vast hydroponic garden. Now the home of these people, known as the survivors. Hadim speaks.
Call the old one.
Now what?
Look, that old man.
Like some kind of priest.
They're making a circle around him.
And they've dragged the mute out to him.
The old man looks at the female mute, runs his hand over her face, draws in his breath and shouts, Mute! As the crowd roars, two survivors rush in, grab the mute and drag her over to a sort of shrine at the edge of the clearing. On the wall behind them is a large portrait. Below the portrait is a man-sized cavity with transparent doors.
They're putting her in that hole in the wall.
And locking the doors. She's sealed in.
Suddenly, a survivor beside a control panel nearby at a signal from Hadim presses a button. The sealed cavity glows with intense light, and the body of the mute evaporates.
Good Lord! Like a pagan sacrifice!
A sacrifice to that portrait, like it's a god!
Now you!
Hadim points at Lowry.
No!
And two survivors seize him and drag him in front of the old man. Running his hand over Lowry's face and arms, he takes one of Lowry's hands in his. Suddenly he stops as he discovers a joint in his index finger is missing.
Mute!
Horrified, Helena watches as Lowry is sealed in. The button is pressed and the cavity glows with a light of death. Unaware of the fate of Helena and Lowry, Commander John Koenig and Professor Victor Bergman, his science advisor, walk down the corridor toward the interior. Approaching an intersection, they stop as they hear someone coming.
I think we've got company.
Koenig draws his laser gun, and cautiously they move forward. Suddenly, they are blinded by two beams of light.
Please, turn off the lights. We are friends. We've come to help. Ah, that's better.
Just two of them, dressed in radiation suits.
My name is John Koenig, commander of Alpha Moonbase. This is my science advisor, Victor.
Before he can finish the sentence, the two figures suddenly fire their laser weapons. Koenig and Bergman crumble to the floor and are carried off. Koenig awakens later to find himself in a rest area and sees a woman looking at him.
Who are you?
I am Kara, director of reconstruction on this ship.
We heard your signal and came to help. Then you attack us.
We had to be sure of your intentions, and now we know. As for that signal, it was automatically triggered when one of our nuclear reactors exploded more than 900 years ago, devastating most of the ship. We are unable to cut it off.
900 years?
Only this small area of the ship was shielded. Out of 50,000 Darians, only 14 of us survived. But come, you will meet our commander and learn more.
Where is my friend Bergman?
He is all right. We will take him with us.
Soon they are in the command center.
Welcome, Commander Koenig. You too, Professor Bergman. I am Niemann, commander of this ship.
Have you found the rest of my people?
Patience, Commander. We are few, and as you have seen, the ship is large. But we will find them. I shall personally supervise the search.
Thank you.
Commander, has it occurred to you how similar our situations are? This ship, your moon, both of us victims of an unfortunate disaster.
Yes, I know.
But what you don't know is our mission.
Your mission?
You may recall a ship from your own Earth history. A ship in which the life of a doomed world was preserved.
You mean the Ark?
Yes. This ship has a similar function. To preserve the life and skills of our Darian race.
You see, our planet Daria no longer exists. We who set out on this voyage were the last of our race.
Is it not true that your own planet Earth may also no longer exist?
It's possible.
And your community may be all that is left of Earth civilization?
That too is possible.
Then join us. We are coming to the end of a 1,000-year voyage. Our main drive is undamaged, and the ship is programmed to reach our destination. A virgin planet where the Darian civilization can begin again. Share our future on the new world.
Meanwhile, Paul Morrow and Alan Carter, the other two members of the Alphan Party, reach a dead end of wreckage and debris in their corridor and turn back. Finding Helena and Lowry gone, they discover the frightened male mute hiding in the Eagle and convince him to lead them to the settlement of the survivors. They arrive just in time to see Lowry sealed in and disintegrated. Too late to help him.
Poor Lowry. I hope Dr. Russell...
Look, there she is.
That old man in front of her, running his hands over her face... Her arms.
He's turning to the crowd. He's going to speak.
Clear!
They're taking her over to that shrine, putting some kind of ceremonial robe on her.
The old man's walked over to her. Looks like he's going to pray or something.
Here in the sacred shrine of knowledge, we dedicate this perfect body and maintain that she is free of the mute whom we abhor in all his manifestations.
I don't like the sound of this.
And this we pledge in the sacred book of Niemann, maker of men, father of spirits. To you, Niemann, we, the survivors, pledge this offering.
Adine, their leader, walks to the wall, presses a button, and a door opens through which walk two Darians encased in grotesque radiation suits.
They're pulling Dr. Russell toward that door.
Okay, let's go. Set lasers on stun. Charging into the group of survivors, Carter and Morrow dash out to rescue Helena.
Alan! Paul!
Fighting against hopeless odds, Carter drops one of the Darians, but is himself brought down. The other Darian goes through the door, dragging Helena with him. Morrow gets through the door just before it closes, but Helena and her captor had disappeared. Meanwhile, in a computer room somewhere in the area ahead, Koenig and Bergman study data sheets from the Darien computers.
I think I've located the airlock mechanism. We should be able to fix it for controlled entry and exit. Victor, what's wrong?
I think I've discovered how the Darians have kept themselves alive for 9 centuries.
I wondered about that. They seem as human as we are.
Their food requirements are the same as ours, but this list of their resources shows no basic proteins, no amino acids or trace elements, no enzyme variants. They can't support life on these.
Have you checked the recycling plant?
Yes, every one of these essential elements is present, and they're being constantly renewed.
But if they have no reserves on the ship, how?
There is only one possible source. Human bodies.
Walking out into the corridor on their way to confront Kara with this terrible discovery, they are surprised and delighted to see Morrow.
Paul, you're safe. But where's Helena?
They've captured her. I've been following them, but lost them. She must be around here somewhere.
And Lowry? Carter?
Lowry's dead. I don't know about Carter.
Morrow tells them about the events in the survivor's settlement.
The survivors? So that's where they get their basic elements. That disintegrator must be part of their recycling system.
Come on. We've got to get Dr. Russell.
Walking back to the command center, they see Kara. Koenig grabs her, clamping his hand over her mouth.
Listen carefully, Kara. We know how you have used those people out there. But now you have taken one of our people, a woman. Tell us where she is, or we'll take this place apart.
Kara leads them to a room that looks like a cross between an operating room and a morgue.
Look at those bodies. 4 of them.
On mortuary tables. Commander, look over there on that table, Dr. Russell.
They see Helena strapped down, wires attached to her unconscious form.
Kara, if you've harmed her...
Let me go. I can still save her.
Kara rushes forward, presses a switch on a panel at the side of the bed, and a green light flashes on.
She will be all right. Oh.
Helena, are you all right?
I think so. Where am I?
Yes, Kara. What is this place?
We Darians are sterile. Ever since the catastrophe, we have had to prolong life by artificial means.
Transplant surgery? This is a transplant room.
So that's how you prolong life. And was this the future you had in mind for us?
Yes!
Neiman!
Neiman and another Darian stand in the doorway with drawn weapons.
You think we wanted these procedures just for ourselves? Transplants? Recycling of human bodies?
Our mission is to survive the voyage, not for ourselves, but for the Darian Gene Bank.
Gene Bank?
Containing the undamaged genetic material of our race. With it, we can build up our race again. Pure, healthy Darians. For the last time, I ask you, John Koenig, join us.
No way.
Then we have no alternative but to...
Neiman! Neiman! Hadeen and his survivors! They have broken into the command center.
The command center?
Led by one of the Earth people.
Must be Carter. He made it.
When Morrow last saw Carter, Alan was lying unconscious near one of the two Darians who had come for Helena. On awakening, he seizes the Darian's gun, makes him admit the Darians were just people, and that Neiman, whose portrait hung over their shrine, was no god. He then forced the Darian to lead them all to the command center.
There it is, Hadeen, the home of the false spirits.
As the survivors overwhelm the few remaining Darians, Hadeen looks at the precious Darian gene bank. He picks it up just as Neiman rushes in.
No, no, put that down!
Neiman rushes over to take the panel of glistening clusters of fibrous materials from Hadeen. Not recognizing his attacker, Hadeen lifts the gene bank and brings it crashing down on Neiman's head. As the gene bank shatters over the dead body of the Darian commander, Hadeen suddenly recognizes the face of his former god.
Neiman!
At the sight of their dead god, the other survivors start to flee in terror.
Wait!
They stop at the sound of Koenig's voice.
Listen to me. You can't run anymore. If you are to have any future, you must learn to live together. Help each other.
With Neiman dead, what future do I have?
These people, the survivors, are your future, Kara. You and Hadeen, working together, can prepare them to survive the voyage. We will help. The rest is up to you. Both of you. Main mission. Eagle One here. We're coming in.
Main mission here. Good to hear from you again, Eagle One. What happened?
Remind me to tell you sometime.
Do you think they'll make it, John?
From the way Hardeen and Coward looked at each other, Victor, I think they will.
Commander?
Yes, Carter.
If the same thing happened on Alpha, would you have chosen differently?
Let's hope I never have to make that choice.